Gracious Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We give you all the adoration for the opportunity this morning to hear from you. Father, may you speak and know me. Father, even our hearts, Lord, you open up so that your word will permeate our hearts, so that we will not remain the same. We will at least live here with your word that enriches and makes whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God. I thank God for the opportunity to share with you word of God this morning. I thank the chaplain in charge and the church authority. This morning we are continuing the same theme on love. Our theme of the year, the greatest is love. This morning I'm going to talk on that you love one another. A new commandment, that you love one another. Our text is taken from John 13:34. I'm going to concentrate more on John 13:34 and 35. As we know, this commandment was given when Jesus was about leaving this earth. When he was concluding his ministry on earth, so he saw the need that you pass on some things. And in this particular instance, that was after the Last Supper. After washing their legs and getting them ready, and told them that the end is near. But before he did that, we noticed that Judas wasn't among the people that he gave this new commandment. If you check, if you look at John 13:30, when he was gone, that was when he started all these instructions. Because these are the people he's called unto himself, and these are the people he know that will carry on with the ministry, and not a fake brother. And we ask ourselves, is this commandment really new? Yes and no, but it's yes, because it's an old commandment renewed because of certain misuse of the old commandment. If you look at Matthew 5:43, he said, you have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. In Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance. That was the law of God he gave through Moses. And this law was specifically to the children of Egypt, children of Israel, sorry. Because they are God's own people at that time. They are selected people of God. And the salvation was meant for them. I use the words meant because now we are in a new order. He said, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, as Israelites. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, confirming his word. But at a time, we noticed that this word, this law, was seriously abused. A lot of things cropped up that at that time, that the children of Israelite derailed so badly. Because before the coming of Jesus Christ, it's about 300 and to 400 years. Israel hasn't got any prophet. Yes, they have priests like Zechariah, father of John the Baptist, but they didn't have God. They didn't have prophet, so they did not hear directly from God. And we know in history, children of Israel, anytime they don't hear directly from God, they drill and do all sorts. And that was the time Jesus Christ came. John the Baptist and then Jesus. That was the reason for this law. And as you know, Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophet. I come to fulfill it. So in fulfillment of this law, Christ fulfilled the love of love your neighbor as thyself. And even more. Because we know that he laid down his life for us. If you love your neighbor, you can get to an extent. Because you cannot kill yourself for your neighbor. I've seen situations where mothers, fathers, a child will do one thing or I will not kill myself for you. That's the essence of human love. The extent it can go. It can never go beyond that. But Christ came around and demonstrated that a friend can lay down his life for his friend. So in the new order, when Jesus Christ came, when the barrier was broken, now salvation is not just for the Israelite again, but for the Gentiles. And these disciples are the people that will take the word to the Gentiles. So at this moment, he spoke to them. That's why me and you now have hope of salvation. Because now, he died for all of us, not just the Israelite again, which was of the old order. That's why he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's still a law. It's still there. We should love our neighbor as yourself. But within brethren, we should love one another. The Mosaic law has a lot of revenge, retaliation, an eye for an eye. But that's not what Jesus preached. That's what he modified. Even now that we are here, even at that time, it is said there is nothing basically new under the sun. So even during that Jesus time, there was this issue of self-love. Me. And he noticed that there is not this cohesiveness within the people, within the children of God. Brotherly love was basically forgotten and thing of old. It was basically obsolete. Just as it is now. Everybody is on his own. You come to church, you will greet, it ends there. There is nothing again. Church and after that. The church is not cohesive like the early church. Christ's intention in giving this law is to create a Christ-centered, cohesive, as in there is this binding force by love. Cohesive, caring, looking out for others. Looking at what is happening to the next person, you basically know everybody and care. Somebody that doesn't come to church, or you ask after the, then church community. There may be a church community, but it may not be Christ-centered, just like what we are seeing in this our time. So that's the main essence of this new law. And then another thing is, because when you read the Bible, you ask yourself questions. When you do, you get a better meaning of what you are reading. You don't just read it like a test. In the old law, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know that some people don't even love themselves? And when you don't love yourself, that means the law is not binding on you. You cannot love another person. There are a lot of horrible things people do. If you check Galatians 5:19-21, work of the flesh, fornication, adultery, these are things people that don't love themselves do. Let me give an instance. Smoking. If you love yourself, you don't smoke. Because it's been condemned in all angle, in all circle. I have a friend that smokes about 2-3 sticks a day. I was advising him. I tell him that was then. that is dangerous to health. And this person was a medical student. But the worst thing is that when that smoking is dangerous to health, they changed it, smokers are liable to die young. He started taking up to 8. So does this person love himself? Do you expect love from this person? It's not possible. So the old law, some people cannot just practice it. It's just as simple as that. There's another instance, after watchman service, somebody was coming out. Some people, not just far from the church, used gun and knife and was collecting phones. So one old woman was so bitter, very bitter, and said, "Oh, God will punish you, this one." The guy looked at her and said, "God has already punished me. Which other punishment? Others are coming out from the church and I'm here collecting phones. You are telling me that God will punish me again." So this kind of people can never love because they don't have it. The love is not in them. So another question, why is this law new? If there has been other things like love your neighbor as thyself, why is this law new? If you check Hebrew 8:13, in that he said, a new covenant he has made. A new covenant. He has made the first obsolete. Now it is becoming obsolete and growing old and ready to vanish away. But it cannot vanish away because even St. Paul said that it's an everlasting law, that is summation of all the law. So if a new law comes, this is the last law and it's an everlasting law. There's no law after it. So it shall never decay. It shall remain new in our hearts. Because it's Christ that gave it before he left. And he gave it to the people that got this message across to us. And another reason is because Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer, he is the person that gave this law. And the law is not just honor law that is one-sided. He said that you should love one another. It's a mutual thing. Two-way thing. It's not just from one person. But who did he give it to? Brethren. Who are these brethren? Us, the children of God. People that have accepted Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. And this is the new order. Not whether you are whatever it is you are. But this same thing is the thing that binds everybody. And again, there has never been any kind of love like this demonstrated before. Because even when Christ gave this law, he said, "Even as I have loved you." All the other laws, they give it just like that. But there's nobody that has been an example of that love except God, who we've not seen, but we know that he is there. Jesus Christ himself demonstrated this love. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." That's another thing new about this law. He showed the example and showed how love should be. The kind of love he's talking about. Not the kind of love that is loved by the world. Not the worldly love. When you have interest, tit for tat, you give me, I give you kind of love. It's Christ-centered love that is all given without checking what you get back, without checking what gets back to you, and without even checking whether the person appreciates it or not. Because in John 15:30, it says, "Greater love had no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend." Even when we are yet sinner, this same Christ died for us. We are not yet part and parcel of him, but he died for us to give us hope that one day we will still be part of him. And that's why we are here in this church. That's why we have the hope of salvation. And this law is a fundamental law. Another thing that is a fundamental law, that is, some Bible verses can be comparable after just accepting Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. And in John 3:23, 1 John 3:23-24. He made some elucidation there. John made some elucidation. Please, who find it, you read for us. Okay.
1 John 3:23.
Yes, sir.
And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ,
yes,
and love one another as, yeah, he gave us commandment.
Thank you. 1 Peter 1:22. He said first, believe in Christ. Because if you don't, you cannot love. And then love one another. It was so simple there that you don't even need to start so many scriptures to get it directly. 1 Peter 1:22.
By obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart.
Thank you. He said, after purifying yourself, having Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and being hating what God hates, loving what God loves. Next thing, love one another, love the brethren. The word brethren here is very specific. It's very specific that it's a set of people, a group of people, not just everybody. Yes, general law, love one another. But within the brethren, there should be a special love. It's not just any type of love. It should be very deep. It should be fervent. It should be continuous. Love that is not found outside that circle. All professed Christians now are known for other things. Check it. Even in that time, they are known for any other things, speaking in tongues, healing of the sick, doing all things. But they are not known for love. That's why when St. Paul was saying, even if you are burnt, you give your body. I was like, if I should give everything, sell everything and give to the poor, is that not love? But then, it's the heart that you are doing it. How can you give and there won't be love? But it's possible. The Bible made us to understand that it's possible. That even if you do all these things, and the love is not there. And what is the love? The love is the purpose of doing it. You are doing it because God commanded it. You are not doing it for vainglory. You are not doing it to get anything. Because that scripture, some people can say it's confusing. If I can even burn myself for somebody and I have no law, is it possible? Yes, it is. So in this place, there has never been any time in history that love acts like a symbol, a badge, where people can be identified with. People can be identified with so many things, uniform, Mary Sumner, my apologies to the mothers. Any other thing you can think of, badge, sticker, but not love. So Christ said that this should be what you have, so that people will know that you are my disciples. By this, all we know that you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. You will be like people set apart, because even others will see the kind of love you share within yourselves. And we know that there is something special about these people. That these people are not just like any other person. That this is a special group. You don't need badge. You don't need uniform. But just that love. This is one of the fundamentals of this new commandment. Then we ask ourselves, how do we love? Our love for one another should surmount any distinction. It should cross barrier. Student, lecturer, high-ranking officer, there should be no class. Among the brethren, it should be classless. There shouldn't be anything. People can relate on first principle, one-on-one. And not just the worker separately, the student. It should bypass. Because of what? We have a common want. And what is this want? To do God's will. To please him. To be identified as his children. to be at right standing with God. Because of what? We are redeemed by the same blood. I don't know if anybody here is redeemed by another blood that is not blood of Christ. If you are, then you are free to go your own way and do it your own way. Yes, in the olden days, in the early time before the coming of Jesus Christ, atonement were done. And depending on the level of sin you commit or the crime you commit, some blood of lamb, some doves, some. But he came and wiped away all this one. You don't need any blood again. It's just that same one blood of Christ. And that makes all of us brethren. So we are there for the same reason, believing the same purpose, dissenting. That's one of the joining force. And we are going to the same heaven. If we are redeemed by the same blood, our destination is the same. So that's why we should be sharing this love within ourselves, not as the world. Our love for each other should have certain qualities, and it's been spoken about in this church, and because of time, but in your time, you read it. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, Paul clearly elucidated the qualities of love. The qualities of love that will be displayed by Christians, that will be displayed by children of God. And I read, love suffers long and is kind, does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not think evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. It's not because you love somebody. The person will be involved in certain things, you look the other way. No. Love instead will make you to admonish the person and bring that person back to the truth. It rejoices in truth. It bears all things. Nothing is too much for love to bear. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endure all things. Use the word endure all things because we know that anything, everything that is contrary, that we are enduring, is very transient. We are here on this end, on a journey. We are here transiently. We are not going to be here forever. So there is nothing too much to endure. Nothing too much for the love of Christ that we have in us to endure. And love never fails. No matter what, love never fails. Then in Philippians 2:1-5, I'm not reading it. There are other things about the kind of love that is given in this new commandment, elucidated by Christ. Our love for each other should be deep, not just shallow love. It should be deep from the soul. You love the person as yourself, and even more, knowing that you people share the same purpose in this life. What is our purpose? That if you live here, you make heaven. And if you share the thing, it's a stronger binding force than any other thing on earth. It should be genuine. It's not love that should be selfish. It should be from the heart, real and authentic. And there will be tender affection. It's not rude love. It's not harsh one. It's not you pretending to be holier than thou. You come down to that person's level. And it should be ready and freely given. It's not ogwakwam. He has issue, somebody, your brethren have a problem. You expect him to come and tell you first. You go out of your way. Ask him, and if there is any help, you can. And there must always be, because you are not the person having that difficulty at that time, there must be a problem. There must be a solution. At least you will help out. Sometimes you don't even need to talk. Sometimes your presence, knowing that you know what he or she or can imagine. Because sometimes if you don't experience certain things, you won't know. But human being, God gave us the power of imagination. Somebody lost their mom and somebody was like, I know how you feel. Told her, you will not know how I feel because your mother is alive. But at least you imagine because there must be pain. You know there are difficulty. And we should be sensitive to each other's feelings. You don't put things on people. You make them look as if they are the worst sinners. You make them look as if there is no hope for them in this life again. No, it's wrong. No matter what happened, you call the person. Because I know most of the corrections we as people, human beings, take are the corrections given to you in love. It's not when you come insult somebody. Some of us hate some courses because of the person taking that course. Not those courses. There are courses everybody hates. Like in secondary school, mathematics. But you have this math teacher that will make math. You will be so demystified. You start liking it. So when you correct in love. Bring the person, come down to that person level. Then admonish. And then the wall will be broken and your word will enter. But when you start from a high level ground and the person is, you cannot, because before you come, the person has built a wall. Whatever you are doing, it will hit the wall and come back. And the person will be like, oh, can this time finish? Whatever it is, let me get done with this. We should be friends for each other and ready to endure hardship. Because Christ laid down his life for us, for the brethren. He knew what was ahead. He knew that without doing this, no hope for us. There will be no hope for us. When I read some of the verses in Old Testament and check the population we have now in the world and check the number of goats, lamb they kill and the number of sin we are committing now, the way we are committing sin now, I think there won't be any goat and lamb to kill again. So that time, I don't know what will happen. Because some you kill, how many this one, how many lamb, there are too many. And the way we've derailed, we left the love of God and get involved in things. So, those are the things. I know that those are the things Christ saw. That if you leave these people, time will come, they will not see sheep or goat to do atonement. Let me come in and finish this work once and for all for them. It's for us to just key in and obey him. We should reprove people when they are wrong, but yes, compassionately. You don't love somebody, and the person is wrong, just like some of us do our children because we love them, our brethren, because you love that person. The person is derailing. You call that person, but the way, compassionately. If you check 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, 2 Timothy 4:2, that you do it compassionately. The approach matters so much. When the person thinks you are doing this thing because you are righteous, I am a sinner. It has happened so many times. It has happened that some group of Christians, a church, tend to lose some members, not because one or two people did things that cannot be corrected, but the approach, the manner it was done. What are you achieving? You are chasing the person into the hands of the devil. You are making the kingdom lose one person. And in that sense, you are not obeying the word of God. The love is not there. And we know that love never fails. And there is nobody that you show enough love. Yes, some people are very difficult. Let me use that word. But it's just a matter of time. With love, the person will have everything. The person will have no option but to think at least one split second in a period of sobriety, in a lucid interval, the person will think. I know that for this person to be this consistent and be admonishing me and be trying to like show me love, there must be something that is in this church, in this body of Christ, that actually this person is a child of God, that I would like to be like him. We should bear the infirmities of others. We should bear their weakness. Everybody is not perfect. Whatever it is, nobody is perfect, no matter what. Even children of God, we are not perfect. We have one idiosyncrasy or the other. Within ourselves, I listened to a wedding sermon when they say, wife, don't always pray for certain things. Don't expect that certain things about your husband must change. But pray. Because it's only God that changes people. Because if you expect everybody to be perfect, you are not perfect. So within the brethren, we have our idiosyncrasies. But with love, you can help the other person build up. You can help the other person change. You can even help the other person overcome this weakness and be firmer like you. And when the person is established, it will be a geographic progression. He will do it for another person. Because when you do something and you have experience, what you pass through, when you are telling somebody, you are telling it with a passion. Because it's something you pass through. You are not telling a story or another person's story. You are telling your own story that it happened to you. Like there was one exam. I failed this exam so many times. I was like, ah. So at this time, I saw somebody that is having difficulty. I told the person, come, I'm an example. God wants to do this thing in his own time. And he wants to do it for you to know that he is the one that did it. Give him my own instance. And the person, to tell you the truth, the person cheered up. And later he had a good story to tell. And it happened miraculously. Because he was giving me excuses. I say, come, I'm an example. I'm an example. It's not any other person. It's me. I'm not telling you another person's story. So people that have all these problems, when you help them out of it, even like he ministered better than a second-hand information. Because when he's saying it, he's saying it from the heart, as in, this is true. It's not what somebody told me. We should pray with our brethren, and we should pray for them. We should pray together as a one body, as body of Christ. And then when they are not there, you remember them in prayers. There is a Bible verse that says, love your enemy and pray for them. I'm sorry to say that if you are not a child of God, you cannot do that. Somebody that wants your head in a platter of gold. That's why ODM is moving very well, war against Haman, because you go there, my enemy, die. Because as a human being, yes, you want him to die because he's caused you so much pain, he's caused you so much hatred, and you are, there's a word that I read, somebody is unlovable. How can you pray for this person? It's not humanly possible. Sorry to say it. It's impossible if you don't have the love of Christ. It's not possible. Those days, I tried praying for somebody along the line. The thing hung. It cannot move. I cannot pray again. But I just called in the spirit and I prayed. Then I finished it. We don't need to pretend about certain things. Pray for your enemy. Somebody you know that this person is out for you. And it's not even a brother, a believer. It's a very difficult thing. But with God, with Christ's kind of love. And you should have this love because Christ is love. Because God is love and Christ is incarnate of God. That's our step in Christian growth. If you really get to this level, I will tell you it's now that you are established as a Christian. When you can do things that are seemingly impossible, but because of love, that Christ kind of love, because Christ dwells in you, then I will tell you welcome that you've arrived. How can you be a brethren, or how can you be a disciple? Because this new law is mainly for the brethren. Do you have the capacity to love just like Christ did? Do you have Christ? You have to have Christ first. That's the first and foremost. You need to have Christ, because if you don't have him, you can only love just like the world. You cannot go this extra mile of loving without difficulty, loving without so much effort. Things you do, like I tell people, when you condone somebody, it's for a time. One day it will burst. But when you accept and call Christ into something, you do it effortlessly. Whether the person knows or not, God is the judge. You are doing it for God and not for human being. This is another opportunity for us to rededicate our lives and look into our life. But if you've not given your life to Christ, basically this commandment, you are still an outsider. And no matter how you try, it's basically impossible. It's not possible. We have to invite Christ to take his position, be well established in our life before this love can grow and be effective in your life. So I'm using this opportunity to ask any of us here to look inward and check our life. And some of us, for one reason or the other, you're still having issues, having problems. To have one-on-one relationship with Christ, this is yet another opportunity. Have you given your life to Christ? Is there any of us here that wants to give his life to Christ? He said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock, that if you open the door, he will come in and sup with you. It doesn't mean how many times you've heard this call. It's yet another opportunity. Is there anybody? Okay, let us pray. Each aludo, as you do. Udo diyo ke buwe, meka Jesus bata no bigi. Njogi koge bufu, ngoro ge hiye, igi koge bufu abani, ngoro ge hiye, njogi koge bufu abani. In Jesus' name, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you to come and permeate our hearts and permeate our soul so that we will have this love you have for us to give us the opportunity and the ability to love just like you, to even love the brethren more, so that when we come to meet you, we'll give a thorough account of ourselves, that we've obeyed your commandment, that our love will surpass the love of this world, so that even others will know that we are your people. Let it be a badge for identification. Father, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, we've prayed.